Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening in to Seller Performance Solutions. I'm Chris McCabe of eCommerce Chris, typically joined by Leah McHugh, who is on her way here to Las Vegas for the Prosper Show, which is happening this week, March 25th to 27th at the Convention Center here in Las Vegas. Leah will be covering compliance issues, compliance appeals, compliance escalations, an often misunderstood area of brands selling on Amazon, experiencing listing takedowns. I'm sure she'll have a lot to say about the Q&A after her talk, which is in a day or so. And we'll save that for next week. For this week, I wanted to focus on, especially since I'm interacting with some Amazon brand managers, strategic account managers, while I'm here this week in Vegas, wanted to focus on the fact that a lot of sellers are crippling their ability to appeal suspensions and increasing the odds of either being ignored or just not being reinstated because they're waiting a really long time to stop doing what they're doing and change gears and try to get either expert eyes on it or even trying to get Amazon's eyes on it. And I say this because I've had a few brands approach us who tried numerous things. I think they started the conversation by telling me we've tried everything. So I guess point one is don't try everything. If you think you're going to keep trying and trying and trying things until you hit an absolute brick wall where you believe everything's been tried and nothing worked, then you've waited way too long to get help. Because people at Amazon who reach back out to me, if I ask them to take a look at something, ask them for help on something, first words out of their mouth or in their email are typically, show us everything that's gone in so far. Show us a summary of the situation, where you've been, what you've tried. In most of those cases, I hadn't been there previously, so I probably should have been asked or consulted a lot earlier, but I was forced to present all this information that had limited to no value to somebody at Amazon who, of course, has limited time to go through it. So if you're going to take up somebody's time, they're going to look at it, see if they can make a suggestion, see if they can tap someone on the shoulder, open a case, write an email to somebody else they work with, whatever it might be. Don't give them this monster material, half of which has no value to, first of all, sift through because they won't have time for that. They won't appreciate it. And secondly, it's going to make it look to them like you were just experimenting or you were guessing or you didn't know what you were doing. And it makes you look a bit amateurish as a brand on Amazon. Also, it's much easier to show somebody one appeal or two appeals than 10 or five, or to show a series of cases, or to show, well, we emailed this person, we emailed that person. The other day or week, I had somebody who had written to all these executives at Amazon. They had sent the same or generic content that was kind of the same thing to everybody, mostly just asking for help or complaining or saying how badly it was hurting their business, which all in all, is about 2% of what should be in there, right? That should not be the emphasis or the focus. They want factual info. They want the real data. And if you're really going to say, we did everything we were supposed to, you guys flubbed up the review of our appeal in the reinstatement, then you want to be concise about that and you want to pinpoint the dates and times if you can or the particular teams you've dealt with or talked to. I don't see a lot of people doing that. I'm not sure if it's just the temptation to run out and find somebody who's got a pre-written template so that you don't have to take the time to put it together. I don't know if you're afraid that when you put it together, it's going to be miles and miles long and no one will have time to read it. That definitely does happen. It's true sometimes. Or I don't know if it's just the ChatGPT / AI phenomenon floating around us where everyone thinks every type of communication can be resolved that way. Not when you're emailing senior executives at Amazon or even manager level people. They're not going to appreciate that. They're going to be able to tell that you didn't have the care or attention or time or interest in putting something professional level together, right? So first of all, I guess I can complain that it makes my job a little harder because I have to sift through all this stuff you've done before I even send it to somebody that might look at it on internal teams. And I might miss something if there's tons and tons of useless info in there. So it takes me time as well. I have to filter through it. But worse than that is it takes them time to go through it. They might have follow-up questions. You're just lengthening the amount of time your listing's down. the types of documents they might request from you might be lost in the background noise, right? It could be something simple and you're the one making it complicated. Don't do that because Amazon won't take the time to sift through it. They're not going to listen to a lot of complaining if the information that you give them, while potentially valid info and some of the factual information could have a lot of value, if you sort of do a data dump and just throw it all at them and say, you know what, we tried a lot of stuff. We tried everything. We want you to sort it out for us now because we've done everything we could. I've seen that happen many times. And at the best of times, that just means that you resolve it, but it takes longer. And on the worst side of things, they just don't have time to look at it. You're probably increasing the odds that they're going to delegate it to one of their direct reports or one of their underlings who maybe won't be that interested in it, who probably won't be taking the task for not doing a good job reviewing it. So when you see a lot of these posts on LinkedIn or online, anywhere really, where people are saying, we've appealed this so many times, we're just getting boilerplate answers back, generic copy and paste, nobody read it, no one reviewed it. How many of those people are proving to you in that post or in the content that you're absorbing that they did a good job putting that material together, number one? Number two, did they follow any kind of real appeal format? Were they just sort of writing out bits of info into an email in a scattered fashion that doesn't really present the info in a kind of salient one-pager where somebody can read through it, even a half page, and understand the basics to the summary, the key points, the misses on their teams? Sure, mention how much money you've lost. It's relevant to the escalation to say that you've lost a lot of money, but prove to them that the reason you're losing so much is because it was mishandled or because you mishandled it on your first or second appeal. But since the third one, you've been providing all the info and you've only gotten the same answers as the first or second appeal. Because then you can take some ownership and you can explain, yes, we were partially at fault here for this spin that started, but we're still spinning and we need your help to pull out of that spin. Otherwise, if it's just, we're great, we put it all together, the burden's all on you, you're not going to get much traction, especially with an escalation. They either won't respond. A lot of times now, there's so many escalations going in that they're looking for the weak ones. They're looking to select yours out and dump it. So if you stand up and wave and say, yep, I'm the one who didn't put any time or effort into this, or I'm the one who grabbed a template, in a sense, they're relieved because you're one less person that they have to work on that day, right? Don't be that person. Be the person that sticks out because you have a detailed timeline that sticks to the facts and the relevant events. And when you show them what you've submitted so far, there aren't random mix match, copy and paste Jeff emails that went to Jeff at Amazon or things that went to execs who are commonly writing blogs for Amazon or posting on LinkedIn. If it's really specifically relevant to what's going on with your case, yes, cite that and explain why you wrote to that person and the problem it created when that person's teams didn't review it properly. But that in and of itself doesn't stand alone as your appeal. You still have to take them through, if it's a dispute, exactly what you're disputing, exactly what they got wrong. Give dates. If you've received calls, more and more brands get calls from people at Amazon, whether they're on account health teams or leadership teams or escalation teams, take notes. Use some of that in the escalation, right? That gives them a person, a frame of reference, a date, maybe what that person might have annotated on your account. It gives them a thread to pull on, because otherwise you're spinning your wheels, but you're also encouraging them to spin theirs. And that just elongates the process. There's no reason. I keep seeing these appeals for ASINs that could have been reinstated 2 weeks earlier, 3 weeks earlier. There was no reason for those appeals to drag out, except that the brand or the seller was just waiting without any real reason for waiting. They thought they were waiting for something, but they weren't waiting for anything. Maybe they were just hoping that this would magically resolve itself. That's not how this works. Or somebody in account health or seller support said, oh, this takes 7 days, this takes 5 days, this takes 3 days. I mean, you can wait enough time for them to read your most recent escalation, 24, 48 hours, sure. But you don't wait just for the sake of it, just because somebody told you to wait, and then days pass and absolutely nothing happens. In most cases, those timelines are pretty arbitrary, right? They might tell you that you're going to have to wait because of the sheer volume of these escalations and appeals being sent in, because all of us know how many of them there are. The problem also is a lot of low-value, poor escalations are being submitted and resubmitted and filling up those queues with low likelihood of success content. Now, yes, the good news, I suppose, if you can call it good, is that that executive or that manager knows probably through practice how to pick out the weak ones and throw them away. But that's only good news if you're not one of the weak ones. So if you don't really understand this process, if you've listened to this podcast, you've read my LinkedIn posts, you've talked to me at shows like the Prosper Show this week, or you've been here in prior years, think strategy, right? Before you even get to the point where you're talking to me or anyone you go to for help, don't expect the owner of the agency running your account, for example, or a consultant you use for some other part of your Amazon business. Don't expect that person to just show up with a pre-baked strategy for you and assume that you can fit your particular details into something they did previously that worked. There might be a kernel there that you can exploit and grow into something bigger, but I wouldn't make assumptions like that. We're kind of living in a lowering margins, low tolerance of mistakes environment with selling your brand on Amazon right now. And if you're adding to the complexity and if you're adding to the amount of time your ASINs or your whole account remain down because you're making these kind of easy to avoid mistakes in the appeals process, it just means that you don't have a lot of experience with it and you shouldn't be trusting yourself with it. Or it means that you think this is a trial and error exercise. Trial and error over and over and over with the same result, aside from being the definition of insanity, can just push you deeper and deeper into the ground. So you're going to have to crawl, you know, a steeper path out of that hole if you insist on pushing yourself into it. I'm not saying you necessarily need a consultant or an expert this or that every single time you have a problem, but you will, if you start off on the wrong foot, keep going down the wrong road, make those mistakes and encourage Amazon to ignore you. Because my last point for today's podcast is that I'm seeing a lot of brands send in a lot of written content, which is handing Amazon a good reason on a platter to ignore the appeal or ignore the seller. I'm not sure with all the content out there why that's still happening in 2025, but I'm seeing content that was typical in 2021, 2020, maybe a few years ago. You have to stay up with these trends. You can't just put on blinders and focus on your brand with your head down and hope that Amazon will do their side of it. You're going to have to motivate them to hold up their end of this bargain. So any questions on that, of course, let us know. If you are in Vegas this week, we're at booth 563 in the exhibitor hall at the Prosper Show. So if you're here in town, we hope to see you in person. Otherwise, we'll see you next week on Sell It Performance Solutions.